While I'm getting situated here, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. That's the very first book. That one's easy to find. The book of Genesis. And actually, I think we're starting, if you're using the guest Bible, I think we're starting on page 2. Right in the beginning. All right, so I've been looking forward to Father's Day to bring a second part, if you will, of the message that, let's see, are you in the audience, Wes? Can you switch that over there? Oh, okay, all right. Molly, can you go help him unlock my laptop? You know the password, right? This is kind of embarrassing. A different routine this morning. I normally do that during the intermission, and I completely forgot about it. So my notes will be up there in a minute, but that's okay. We don't need them yet. On Mother's Day, we delved into, we looked again at creation, the very first the creation of woman. We looked at Genesis 1 and then Genesis 2. Primarily Genesis 2, where God creates this amazing, incredible creature to come and to help Adam and to complete Adam, to complete the man. And in part of that story in Genesis 2, you may recall, well, let's just go there. Let's just dive right into Genesis 2 to kind of set up what I want to talk about this morning, this title of The Words of a Father. You know, that there are all these things we can talk about on Father's Day, and this morning I want to focus on the words of a father, and I want to share an insight into Genesis, into this part that I'd never thought of before. I heard someone else share it, but just a couple months ago, and like a light bulb came on. So I'll share that with you this morning. But let's just go back to Genesis 2. Let's see. Where do I want to jump in here? Yeah, okay. Let's just jump in at verse 18. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" This was after Adam was created. He was placed in the garden. He was given work to do. But God said, "It's not good for him to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now, in this interesting chain of events, the very next thing in verse 19, as I pointed out on Mother's Day, wasn't God creating the helper. The next thing after God declared it's not good for man to be alone, he gives Adam another job to do. Verse 19, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field." Now let's just pause there. I've already answered one of the questions to these little trivia questions at the top of your notes. Did you see those? At the top of your notes, there's five questions of how things got their names. The first one is, who established the names light and darkness? The second one, who established the names sky and sea? The third, who established the names of the animals? And I just read that answer. Who established the name woman, and who established the name Eve? Well, very simply, the first two are names that God gave. God assigned the names light and darkness and sky and sea. But the rest of that list, the animals, woman, and Eve, the man named those things. You'll see this here in just a few verses later in Genesis 2. Okay, Adam had named all the animals. We talked about this on Mother's Day. And then God creates a woman and brings her to Adam. And the man said in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Adam was still in naming mode. And then you also see over in chapter 3, and we'll get to that just a little later, that Adam is the one who gives the woman the name Eve because she was going to be the mother of all the living. Now, I was listening to a speaker a couple months ago, and what he was actually talking about was the formation of identity in children. Specifically, in this talk, it was about boys, how a boy's identity is formed as he's growing up. And he really focused in on the role of the man, the male voice, ideally the father. And he just made this casual point, like everybody knew it. And to me, it was like, I never thought of that before. His name, the speaker, is Ricky Shillette. He's a part of Living Hope Ministries in Texas. What he said was, he said, yeah, you know, a man has been given authority by God to speak identity into the life of his children. A man has been given authority by God in Genesis to speak, to name, to call out things. And he said, just like in creation, man named the animals, he named the woman, he named the woman again. And I was just like, I never thought about that. Have you? You know, we have this account where Adam names the animals. It's like, well, okay, why did he do that? Why didn't just God name them? But, so it started me on this journey of just my mind kind of went pretty far with that. So let's just go into these notes quickly. Talking about Adam's authority to name, we've already looked at this Genesis 2 and 3. And here's my point. I believe that when Adam gave a name, he was actually giving identity. When he said, she will be called woman because she was taken from man, the name woman communicated that. When he said, she will be called Eve because she is going to be a mother of all the living, that the word living was tied up in that name. I don't know about the animals. I've just got to believe somehow that when Adam was naming animals, there was some connection to identity in that. I don't really know that. You can disagree with that. But, and I don't know if you even agree with this concept that I'm stating, that it appears to me, and it really resonated with me when this gentleman said that, that man seems to have been given authority to speak things and to name things. Now, just let that percolate for a minute or two. Some of you might say, yeah, that sounds right. Others might be like, no, what's a man that he can speak identity, you know? Especially those of you who've had some negative experiences with men in your life. But a man was naming things. Does the male voice, especially the voice of a father, carry a unique weight in forming identity and calling in the life of a child? Does the man's voice, the father's voice, does it have a unique authority? I trust you agree that fathers have a tremendous opportunity to speak identity into their child's life, and the silence of their voice, the silence of affirmation from a father, echoes through a person's lifetime. And even worse, a curse from a father has devastating effects. What do I mean by a curse? I don't mean like with incense and, you know, all this stuff. A curse would sound like this. And for those of you who have heard these very words, I know this is painful to hear, but a curse would sound like this. You'll never amount to anything. That's a curse. You're stupid. You'll never be successful like your brother. That's a curse. That is a father or some voice speaking into the life of an individual, a voice of condemnation, a voice of defeat. How many testimonies have you heard from people who are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s and beyond that will still remember with vivid clarity the effect their father's words had on them? Now, some of what I'm saying this morning is just my opinion. You're free to disagree with me, and the next thing I'm going to say falls in that category. Because I don't want to come across as minimizing a mother's voice. I don't want to minimize that. I would like to hear your opinion on this, actually, after I say it. Not right at this moment. But, you know, catch me in the lobby. I think, generally speaking, children expect their mother to be affirming and to be nurturing. I know it doesn't always happen, but I'm going to suggest this morning that when a father speaks affirmation and he speaks value, it carries more weight than when mom does. I don't know if you agree with that. Depending on your family situation, you might not be sure of that, but I'm just going to suggest that today. That when a father speaks affirmation, it actually carries more weight than when mom does. Let's just leave that there for the moment. Go on here to the next point, simply called a father's blessing. And you can turn to Genesis 22. We're just going to look at this briefly. You're in Genesis 3, just going back a few more chapters. You know what? I'm sorry, it's Genesis 27. It's miswritten there and on the notes, but it's Genesis 27 we want. You could say, Ron, is there any evidence in Scripture to what you just said, that a father's voice carries a unique authority and a unique weight? All you would have to do is go through the Old Testament, primarily the Old Testament. It's a little more visible there. And look at this thing of a father's blessing. A father speaking a blessing over a son. And this isn't just limited to sons. Fathers speak over daughters, just the same. Now, this particular instance we're going to is a son. But we're not going to go through the whole thing. Some of you know this story, some of you may not, but it's kind of it's a little bizarre, I might call it. If you remember the name Abraham. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham called God. And Abraham and his wife did not have a child for many, many, many years. And God said, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Well, eventually, in their old age, God blessed him with a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac then married a woman by the name of Rebekah. And when they were blessed with children, Rebekah gave birth to twins, the twin boys. One was named Esau, one was named Jacob. Esau was born first. You know, they're twins born basically at the same time, but Esau was born first and then Jacob. So technically, Esau was the oldest. In the Old Testament, the normal practice was for the father's blessing, and I don't fully understand all this, but the father's blessing would go to the firstborn. And there were a lot of responsibilities that went with that also. So here's the situation. This man named Isaac is nearing death, and he says, I think to his wife, he said, you know, bring Esau to me. I want to bless him. Well, here's the hitch in the story. Rebekah, his wife, favored Jacob, the younger of the twins. So she came up with this elaborate deception to bring Jacob into Isaac's presence because Isaac's eyesight was failing. And she was going to bring the younger twin into his presence and get the blessing for himself. Deceptively, sneakily, and you can read the whole thing here in Genesis 27 to hear about the plan and how they were going to do it. But I'm just going to jump in here in verse 27. We now have Jacob, the younger twin, in the presence of Isaac, having fooled him into thinking that he was actually Esau. And then this is what happens in verse 27. So he, meaning Jacob, went to him. He, meaning Isaac, went to Jacob and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, See, Jacob was wearing Esau's clothes. When he caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and the earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples now bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Now notice what happens. We're now in verse 30. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. Now remember, Esau was the rightful recipient of the blessing. He was the oldest. He too prepared some tasty food, brought it to his father. Then he said, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" Can you imagine? You're the firstborn twin and you come to your father and you ask for your blessing, and your father, who is barely able to see anymore, looks at you and says, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Verse 33, Isaac, the father, trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." Verse 34, when Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." He was grieving. He's like, "Can't you bless me also?" You go on then to verse 35, but his father said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright. Now he's taken my blessing. And then he goes on to ask, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Now, before you misinterpret what I'm saying, I fully believe that every child is dedicated to God. We don't only dedicate the first child. This was an Old Testament practice that had a lot of other things attached to it. So if you have multiple children, please don't be running through your mind right now, "Well, I can only bless the oldest one then." No, you can bless them all, trust me. You can bless them all. But my point here simply is that Esau's grief showed the value of a father's blessing. There was this hunger for the blessing of the father, especially for Esau because he was firstborn. There was a hunger for it, longed for this father's blessing. Now, in the Old Testament, father's blessings were prophetic. A lot of times they would say, "Well, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be this." And, you know, I was thinking about that, like that would be kind of cool, right? I could bless Christopher, my son, and say, "You're going to be a wealthy businessman who's going to buy his parents a vacation home in Florida." Now, that would be a cool blessing, right? That would be awesome. Ricky Shillette, the same man that I quoted earlier, in another article, he said, "This is what your children want to hear from you. This is the blessing that children want to hear from their father. They want to hear, 'You are good enough. I am proud of you. You have what it takes to be a man. You have what it takes to be a woman. You bring me great joy. I believe in you. I love you.'" Those are tremendous words of blessing. Now, I would like you to hear the voice of two presidents, two United States presidents, reflecting on their fathers. And just to make sure I equally please and offend all of you, one is a Democrat, one is a Republican, so just know going in front, you know, what is, there's a president from each side of the aisle, but they're speaking about their fathers.
"And finally, be on the lookout for role models, people whose conduct you admire and whose path you can follow. That in mind, I have one last example of courage and service. It's the story of a young man who left comfort behind to answer his nation's call, became the youngest pilot in the Navy, and nearly gave his life in World War II. When he came back home, he devoted his career to public service and proved that success in politics can be accomplished with decency and grace. He reached the pinnacle in government, but he defines his life by other roles: a father who gave unconditional love, a grandfather devoted to his grandchildren, and a beloved husband of the sweetheart he married a lifetime ago. Some of you will leave A&M with a degree that carries this good man's name, George Bush. I have been blessed and honored to have carried it for 62 years.
What negative effects do you think you've had in your life by not having your father in your life?
You know, as I look back, you know, I only remember my father for 1 month my whole life, when I was 10. And it wasn't until much later in life that I realized, like, he gave me my first basketball, and it was shortly thereafter that I became this basketball fanatic, and he took me to my first jazz concert, and it was sort of shortly thereafter that I became really interested in jazz and music. So what it makes you realize is how much of an impact,
even if it's only a month,
that they have on you. But I think probably the most important thing was his absence, I think, contributed to me really wanting to be a good dad. Because I think not having him there made me say to myself, you know what, I want to make sure that my girls feel like they've got somebody who they can rely on.
Okay, so the voice of two presidents, the first talking about the role model that his father was, the second talking about the absence of a father. And please don't think that I put those clips next to one another to shed some kind of bad light on President Obama, because this is what I have to say about President Obama. He broke the cycle. I'm not sure if you go back generationally what that family looks like, but he did not grow up knowing the benefit of a father speaking into his life. But he made a decision, and from all external appearances, he is a faithful and committed father. It appears that way to me from what I see. So I say to President Obama, job well done. You know, you took an example that was lacking and you actually used that as fuel to say, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be different than my dad was. So I want to say that once, there's a couple times this morning, I just want to give an encouragement to you who, when I talk about a father and a father's involvement, it's actually painful for you to hear me talk about that. I just want to say to you, especially if you're a dad, break the cycle. God can enable you to be a different father than your father was. You don't need to continue the example that he set before you. You don't need to do that. You can break that cycle. It appears that President Obama did a great job of doing that, and President Bush did a great job of carrying on the example that he was given, because from all appearances, he too is a very committed and faithful father. So we are blessed to have that example in both of those men, one who was shown the example and one who had to start it in his own generation. So I can't stress enough the power and the blessing of a father's words and a father's affirmation. I want to touch this one quickly. This one's fascinating to me. A faith blessing. We talked about a father's blessing. Now, let me just say a comment or two about a faith blessing. If you're still in Genesis, go back to Genesis 3 again. Genesis 3 talks about what we usually call the fall of man, where sin enters the garden and Satan comes in and gives a temptation. But now, then we have God encountering Adam and Eve and placing basically this, I don't like the word curse, but he made it clear what the results of their sin would be. But then you go to verse 20. If you just go to verse 20, Genesis 3:20, it says this: Adam named his wife Eve because she already had many children. No, that's not what it says. It says Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Adam spoke truth and identity into his wife before it was reality. Don't miss that, dads. You have the ability to speak into people's lives things that aren't reality yet. And we can do that because God does it. This powerful verse from Romans 4:17, the second half, I'll just read it here. This is speaking of Abraham. It says, he believed in God who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. Do you believe God can do that? He can call things into existence that do not exist. That's what happened all through creation. God called things, our whole created world, he called them into existence with his voice. They did not exist, but he called them into existence. So first came the voice, and second came the reality. You have the authority to do that, Dad. You can speak with your voice. You can speak identity. You can speak favor. And because you speak it, it becomes reality. Again, I don't mean some crazy, I'm going to speak a vacation home for myself. I'm not talking about that. But do you have a child who lacks in self-confidence? Speak confidence in them and watch it become a reality. Do you have a child that's struggling with identity for some reason? You speak the identity you see in them as a father and you watch it become reality. I just believe we have the authority to do that. As men, as fathers, we can do that. You can speak identity. You can speak things that are not yet into the life of your children and stand back and watch them become reality. I believe God gives you that authority. I really do. So that's a voice of faith, a faith blessing. When God called Abraham a father of nations, he didn't have a son yet. But God still spoke that. When Jesus called Peter a rock, he wasn't really a rock at that time. But he spoke identity. He spoke something into Peter that became reality. And we watch it through the early church, this tremendous, powerful leader that Peter was. Now, let's end with this one. A father's blessing. Say, oh no, we've already done that one. Your notes are messed up. Now, notice that the Father this time is a capital F. This is the hard part of any day like this. I know, I've heard your stories. I know there are those of you in this audience right now who you don't have pleasant memories of your Father. You don't have that experience of a Father speaking blessing over you. We talked earlier about this blessing that Jacob stole, in a sense, from his father by deceiving him and by dressing up as though he was Esau. And again, it's hard for me to get my mind around all of this, but even that was God's will, because it had been spoken earlier that the older would serve the younger. But if you follow this, and we won't turn to these this morning, but Genesis 28 and Genesis 32, God himself comes and blesses Jacob again. Two more times, he got the blessing from his father through ways that do not seem right. But then God came. The first time was when he saw the vision of the stairway to heaven. God came and blessed him. And then the next time on his way back from the country where he got his wives, when he was coming back, then that whole thing of he was wrestling with a man who, it makes clear, it was God. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And God blesses him again. So God is a blessing God. If the voice of blessing is lacking from your earthly father, your heavenly father is just waiting to speak it. If the voice of blessing and identity is lacking from your earthly father, your heavenly father is just waiting and wanting to speak that to you. Maybe you feel like you've been shortchanged. Yeah, but other people had that from their flesh and blood, Dad. I know. Up until my mid-teen years, my father really wasn't a part of my life. He was at home. He would come home on the weekends. He worked out of town, but I really had no relationship with him. He didn't really know me. He had no idea what I was doing in terms of sports or school or activities or anything. And by God's grace, he came back into our family in a more prominent way a more involved way, and my relationship with my father improved. But I still don't know. I'm hesitating now because I don't want to speak anything disrespectful to my father. I know I had his affirmation. I know he was pleased with me. But at one of the Living Hope's men's retreat, the one that Rob Stoppert was at, I don't know if that was our first one or second one, we had this exercise where Rob sent us out in the woods to ask God for a name. Remember that? You remember that, right? Other of you guys remember that? I know some of you had some really powerful experiences there. And I went out to the woods. I guess I was a little disobedient because that's not what I asked. I got to that eventually. But my question for God was, like, I hear these stories about the impact of fatherlessness. But yet in my own life, I didn't feel like I had suffered to that level. Like, yes, my father wasn't there when I was growing up. Like, he was never at a baseball game or anything. But I just kind of grew up thinking that was normal, I guess. But I never carried this deep grief or burden. And so I sat down by the lake up there at Mount Gretna. And I said, God, why don't I? Like, what happened that protected me from some of the things that some men and women experience when their father is not really speaking into their life growing up? And almost immediately, God brought to mind my first boss. This man wasn't even a Christian. But the care and the favor that he showed me as an employee, way beyond what you would expect from an employer to way beyond what would be required of an employer. He spoke favor. He spoke affirmation into my life. He encouraged me. And the Lord brought to my memory immediately several specific things that to this day I remember with great, vivid memory of things that he either did or said to me. And the Lord said it came through multiple voices. It didn't come through your father, at least not early in life, but it came through multiple voices. And this is where men, even if you are not a father, I still believe that you have authority to speak affirmation and identity. You still have that authority. So even if you're not a father or if your kids are grown, keep your eyes open. Look around to see who it is that God places in your path that you get to speak into their life. You get to speak affirmation. You get to speak identity. Whatever it is that God calls you to speak, whatever God calls you to say, speak it. Speak it. What do you do when you've not experienced the Father's blessing? You ask God for His blessing, the Father with a capital F, and you look to see who else He might bring in your life to speak that. You can look in Scripture, and I wanted to say specifically, I know there are those of you who are here who are raising a son or daughter, and for whatever reason, the father isn't in the picture. For whatever reason. And you might be hearing this message right now saying, okay, what am I supposed to do? Like, dad is not around. What am I supposed to do? Never underestimate your influence as a mother, as a grandmother. But again, this is just Ron speaking now. If you'll allow me to say this, I'm not necessarily speaking officially as the pastor, but I'm just going to give you my opinion. I really believe that if you are raising children without the influence of a father, ask God for a male voice to be present and to speak into the situation. It might be a grandfather. It might be an uncle. I don't know. Ask God who it could be. I believe children respond to a male voice. They respond to a female voice. Again, I'm not minimizing the tremendous, amazing role of women. Paul said to Timothy, I've seen your faith. I've seen faith in your grandmother. I've seen faith in your mother. And now I see it in you. So Timothy obviously was a product of godly women. And that's totally doable. But I would still, again, this is just me speaking. I would encourage you to ask God to identify a male voice for your son or your daughter. You know all about appropriateness and all those safeguards. You know about all that. But ask God what the male, who the male voice could be. And to the men of the congregation, I say to you, open your eyes to look and see young men and women, mainly men, mainly young men. Now, if God has a unique situation where you would speak into the life of a young woman, again, you know all those safeguards. That's not something you just go and do. But especially, keep your eyes open to young men around you that you can speak identity. You can speak affirmation into their life. I believe that God has given you the authority to do that. I believe He has. So you don't want to miss out on that. Can I share one more opinion? One more Ron Ressler opinion? If you were to look across our society and look at all of the social ills, you could look at poverty, you could look at crime, you could look at abortion, you could look at all kinds of things that are out of place. I believe, again, this is me speaking, I believe you even look at the issue of same-sex attraction, things where our culture is broken. If I could pick one thing, and not even in a spiritual realm, I mean, obviously the one thing that would bring the greatest aid is revival. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But even if you set that apart and just look at it in the human level, the one thing that I think could have the greatest positive effect on the ills of our society would be for fathers to be present in the lives of their children. I just came across this in my reading this week. It might sound like kind of an odd addition, but I just want to throw it in here. This is a report, and the fact that it deals with African-American men is irrelevant. It's not. It's a report, though. The crisis of the young African-American male and the criminal justice system. You've probably seen some of these, but I just want to read one paragraph that talks about the conditions in the prison and how disheartening it is. It goes like this. This is written by Mark Maurer, who's the assistant director of the Sentencing Project. I think this was issued in 1999. But this paragraph goes like this. A wealth of statistical information is now available to document what a walk through virtually any urban courthouse or state prison displays quite graphically. A courtroom observer in New York, Detroit, Atlanta, Los Angeles, or any other major city will witness a sea of black and brown faces sitting at the defense table or shackled together on the bus transporting prisoners from the jail for court hearings. Now again, the race of the men is irrelevant. That's not my point. My point is this next sentence, which just is kind of thrown in casually, but it really caught my attention. This is continuing the description of what you would see in the jail. And the author of this report goes on to say, in the prison visiting room, mothers, wives, and girlfriends who have often traveled several hours by bus or car wait to see their loved ones in stuffy and noisy visiting rooms with little privacy. Now, I think the intent of the author was to draw attention to the issue of people having to drive long distances and sit in stuffy and noisy visiting rooms with little privacy. But did you catch anything else in that sentence? It's almost a foregone conclusion by this author that the people in visiting rooms, visiting people who are in prison, are mothers, wives, and girlfriends. Where are the men? Where are the fathers? You put that together, and this all starts becoming pretty clear, at least to me. If fathers would be present in the lives of their children and would speak affirmation and blessing in the lives of their children, this society as we know it would be transformed in ways I think we can't even imagine. The authority and the blessing that is carried in the voice of a mother and in the voice of a father is immeasurable. So it's time to wrap up. What I'd like to do this morning is I've asked a few of the elders to join me, and we're just going to be available up here to pray. And what we want to do is very simple. We would love to pray a simple prayer of blessing over anyone who would desire that today, man or woman. Especially if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, I don't know that anyone has ever spoken blessing over me. We would love to do that. Say, well, you don't even know me. How can you speak blessing over me? We're just going to speak blessing from a Father that we know loves you more than you can imagine. We're going to be His stand-in today. My voice doesn't carry any weight, but His voice does. And these are the types of things He says. As soon as I get to my notes. We would say something like, may the God of hope, do you believe He's a God of hope? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul spoke in Romans 15. And we would love to do that this morning. So, let's see, Christopher, where did you go? Christopher, are you in the room? Oh yeah, there you are. You want to come up and play the keys? Would you be willing to do that? You offer to do that, and then if we need more help praying, then you can take off the piano player hat and put on the elder hat and come down and join us. I want to pray a blessing over all of you, and then we'll dismiss you. I know it's time for the students to be picked up, so perhaps between parents, you can figure out who's going to do that, but we do want to remain available up here to pray a simple prayer blessing over you. We want you to hear those words of blessing that God so wants to declare in your life, if you will just allow Him to do that, if you'll just allow Him to speak those things. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, You are a perfect Daddy. The problem is that when we don't know You, we don't know that. Until we've come into relationship with You, we don't realize how much You love us and how much blessing You want to speak in our lives. God, it's that the voice of love, of affirmation. We don't want to mistake the word blessing as, okay, God is going to make me financially rich. If He does, that's cool. But His voice of blessing is one that says, I love you. You have what it takes. I will strengthen you for whatever life brings your way. And know that I'm always right here. I'm always with you, even when you can't see me. When you experience things that feels like I'm not there, know I am. So God, I pray your blessing, on every person here this morning, every person who's listening to the podcast, God, I pray Your blessing that they would know of Your love for them, that they would know the peace and the hope that You bring into someone's life as we surrender to You, as we follow You. God, I pray Your blessing specifically over dads, that they would not underestimate the power or authority that You've given them to speak into the lives of their children, and how critical, how so critical that is. God, I also pray a blessing over men in general who have that ability to name things and to speak things. So for those of us, again, who aren't fathers, or maybe our children are grown and gone, keep our eyes open, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes open, that we would speak blessing, we would speak affirmation whenever we have opportunity into anyone's life that You bring our way. God, I also pray for women in the room who are serving in the capacity of both mother and father. God, strengthen them. They have probably the most difficult job in the world. Strengthen them, bless them, and speak your blessing through them also to their children. And God, if you are leading them that way, God, show them a male voice that can be part of that equation in their lives. God, you've blessed us in so many ways. Help us as we have freely received your blessing to freely give that to others. So I pray your blessing on these men, on these fathers, God, that they would walk in the awareness of all that they can be and all that they can speak by the authority you've given us. God, if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't come into relationship with you yet, God, they're not aware of this love that you have for them. God, reveal to them your love. Reveal to them the truth of your word, that when people turn to you and surrender to you, times of refreshing come. They can walk into a relationship with you and receive your blessing. Thank you for being with us this morning, God. We just give ourselves to you as your servants, as your children. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a good Father's Day. And again, we would love to pray with as many of you as we can this morning.